The first thing I thought about this hearing, hearing Ross Atkins and his media availability at the end of the year, talking about the just the things the Blue Jays had gone through this year and how proud he was of the organization and the adjustments that had to be made. And it seems to me that one of the things we maybe haven't talked about enough is the adjustments the coaches had to make. And you know, in particular, I'm thinking of yourself and the hitting coaches. You know, you had different, in addition to dealing with different personalities, you're dealing with different ballparks, different set of circumstances. Tell us a little bit about what this year was like for you in terms of workload and focus.
Well, first of all, Jeff, Kev, thanks for having me on. It's always great talking to you guys, and I enjoy it. But yeah, it was a crazy year. I mean, you look back at where we started and how things transpired over the course of the season, and it was challenging to say the least. You know, I think as coaches, as players, you know, you look at the front office and all the maneuvering that they had to do throughout the season, trying to figure out where we're going to be playing, how many series we're going to be playing, and then moving from one place to another. You know, the family situations was tough for a lot of the players, you know, with young kids, and, you know, the circumstances were not easy, you know, because you can't just, you know, settle in somewhere. So obviously from a coaching standpoint, a playing standpoint, it wasn't the easiest situation. I thought the guys did an amazing job. Honestly, when I think back and look back, there was no complaining. There really wasn't. I mean, that can't be overstated enough. Guys went with the flow. They handled it professionally. And, you know, obviously the results weren't what we wanted in the end. But I think, you know, if we had played in Toronto all season, I honestly feel from the bottom of my heart, we'd be still in the postseason right now. That's just what the home crowd does and the home field advantage does, because we really didn't have that up until the end of the season. But, you know, it was not easy, you know, moving from place to place. And Dunedin obviously was a bandbox. It was good for hitters and not good for pitchers. And that's always a complaint of mine. But, you know, Buffalo wasn't much better. But I thought our guys did a great job from a pitching standpoint. And obviously our offense was tremendous this year. You know, it's disappointing. There's no other way to put it. I think it's disappointing where we ended up, but looking back at it, I think it's miraculous how well this team did.
Whenever I was a player, I can remember having conversations with my coaches at the end of the year, and you know, you go over things that you did well, you go over things you didn't do so well. Get your thoughts on the conversations you would have with certain guys. You know, the older guys, you're not going to have as many conversations. They've been there and done it before. They know routines, what they're going to do in the off season, when they're going to start their routines, and all those kind of things. But very specific, Alek Manoah. Yeah, he's taking strides forward. Yeah. We had no idea what he was going to be and what he could do. And he sort of solidified his position next year coming in. Well, what was your conversation with him at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it was what he did was awesome. You know, I was just looking at his numbers again, just kind of refreshing my memory before I came on. I mean, I know where his innings were and everything else, but his numbers were awesome. I mean, I think of what he did, you know, coming with his background and having limited professional experience to come to the major leagues and make an impact like he did, you know, going 9-2 and having a tremendous ERA and hits per innings and strikeouts, all that stuff. So he did some great things. You know, he handled it, I guess, you know, without having the experience and the background at the major league level, he didn't know any better. So whatever happens, you know, just kind of was new to him. So I think it was tougher on some of the veteran guys going through what they did this year with the routines and having to, you know, change their routines and do some different things. But, you know, for Alek coming in and doing what he did, it was special. And, you know, he's something else. He's fun to be around. He's a great team guy. He blended in with the veterans nice. I think our you know, position players loved playing behind him, and I think that's the greatest compliment you can have as a pitcher when your teammates and your position players love to play behind you. They love when it's your turn to pitch because they know you're going to give us a good chance to win, and that's what he did. He's just an extreme competitor that has tremendous stuff.
Any chance a windup would help him? I know a couple of times the finish, the short, you know, glove hand, that thing firing towards the target.
Yep.
You know, I used to try and hit early on that little deception that you could add with a windup. That would that help him early on in games?
You mean he wasn't good enough for you?
Well, I mean, look, we get
pretty good.
Well, yeah, I'm with you, but you know, we get greedy here. When you see that he could be superstar kind of, yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I get you. I'm kidding. I obviously having that full windup and that good flow to the delivery is important for some people, but he's really. And you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, he just keeps it simple. Obviously, with runners on base and scoring position, there's no change to his delivery. He can just be a little bit quicker at times. So, you know, there's something to be said about that. You know, I've always been a fan of the full windup and having two distinct deliveries, you know, the full windup from the stretch. But I do understand the idea behind just simplifying and having one delivery, and it does make things better. It does make it easier to repeat at times for big bodies and big guys that have a lot of moving parts. So for him, it works. You know, we made a couple of small adjustments throughout the course of the season with him, but for the most part, you know, he kept his delivery simple. You know, we moved him on the rubber a little bit, which helped him get in the strike zone because he was more of an arm side miss guy at times. So we're trying to get him in the box a little bit more, and I think that helped. But, you know, I do understand your question. I think for some guys it definitely works, but for other guys it doesn't. And looking at the season he had and the consistency, I think, towards the end especially, is something we'll continue to build on.
Are you and the organization, but you in particular, Pete, any closer to knowing what you have with Nate Pearson?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, it's been a frustrating path for Nate. You know, we talk a lot, and obviously this year didn't go as planned. We certainly think he can start. I mean, I think that's, you know, we'd be foolish not to continue to think that way because of the possibilities with him being 100-mile-an-hour fastball with good breaking stuff. Obviously, it hasn't transpired and you know, kind of translated, I guess, on the major league field over innings. But he showed out of the bullpen what he can do. Obviously, that's an option. But, you know, I think they'd be selling him short a little bit right now. I still, you know, there's still a high ceiling for Nate. And I believe, you know, he can start in the big leagues. Can he help us in the short term in the pen? There's no doubt. I mean, we saw it. And if we had him all year in the pen, who knows, right? But I also think if we had him in the rotation all year, who knows? So there's still some question marks there, but I think as an organization, we'd be premature, you know, just saying, oh, he's better in the pen and that's it, you know, to get him to help us out at the major league level. That's something we'll continue to monitor and watch. But I think preparing for next year, we'd still like to extend him out and try to build up his innings and see where he can help us. And if it turns out it's in the bullpen long-term, great. But for now, I think we'll continue to extend him out. And I still think there's a tremendous upside for Nate. And we haven't seen it for sure. But hopefully we do, because I think this Toronto would love to see him, you know, throwing 200 innings and dominating. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, with Hyun-Jin Ryu, is there any one thing in the offseason you'd like to see him improve on coming into spring training?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Hyun-Jin, I think it was just kind of a crazy year. I mean, obviously, you know, we were forced into using him consistently, I think because of our situation with the starters and so forth. But I think next year we'll monitor his innings a little bit more. We'll talk to him as we did this year, but I think we'll monitor his innings a little bit. And I think just continuing to, you know, come into camp in the best shape possible, you know, looking to really get himself back on track consistently. I think we made some adjustments towards the end of the season, which helped. I think his delivery got a little out of whack with his shoulders and his hips, and I think he understands that. And I think, you know, at the end of the year, the last two outings, I know the second to last one didn't go great from a number standpoint, but I thought he threw the ball well his last two outings. I thought his changeup was better. I thought his location was better. I thought his fastball command getting in on right-handers was better. So those are the things we'll continue to work on. And next year, I think now after really seeing him over an entire season, I understand him even better and know what he needs to do to be successful. I think our organization does as well. And our communication level is better. So next year, I expect him to get right back on track. I expect to have a great spring training. And I think you'll see the old Hyun-Jin Ryu.
We've got Pete Walker for a few more minutes. If you have some text, you can send it to us at 590-590. You talked about maybe understanding Hyun-Jin Ryu a little better now because you've had that full season. Considering the fact that we went from a 60-game regular season plus playoffs to a 162-game season, Pete, are you surprised? I'm not going to ask you if you're surprised that the starters were able to stay as healthy as they did, because by doing that, I'm going to jinx things. But, you know, the carnage, at least for starters, the carnage that a lot of us thought we were going to see, we didn't necessarily see.
I agree with you. I mean, I look, you know, I don't know exactly the numbers across baseball, but I think we were fortunate. You know, we look at Hyunjin Ryu and Alek Manoah and Robbie Ray and Steven Matz. You know, Steven Matz had the COVID thing, but that was it. Jose Barrios, even between Minnesota and here, you know, no hiccups. I guess it was surprising. I mean, nobody really knew going in what that would do. But I think we handled it very well as an organization. I think, you know, we were fortunate to keep those guys healthy. And, you know, it's just one of those things. There's certain questions I don't think we'll ever be able to answer. I expected it to be a little bit tougher than it was from a starting standpoint. Obviously, there were some reliever injuries along the way, but, you know, that seems to be a natural occurrence, unfortunately, for bullpens and relievers. You know, but, you know, keeping our starters healthy was huge. And I think we did a great job. You know, our high performance group and our strength group did a great job monitoring these guys, keeping them in shape and staying on top of any deficiencies that might pop up. And I think we've gotten better at that. And I really do believe that our group is very, very good at staying in communication with each other, talking to the players, monitoring them and being aggressive. I mean, I don't think we were conservative by any stretch. I look at maybe in the past in baseball, I think some teams have made mistakes by being so conservative and so protective, where I think we become more aggressive and, you know, really listening and monitoring the player. And I think that's made a big difference.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, too, because one of the things I really noticed about this staff, and maybe it was I really noticed it with Jose Barrios in particular, Pete, is they're pretty athletic. You know, even your big guys like Ryu is not, you know, Ryu's not, people aren't going to look at Ryu and think that he's going to win a decathlon or anything like that. But I mean, these guys are good athletes, aren't they?
They are. And I think, you know, again, in baseball, I think they're looking at, you know, athletes in general. I know we are. And I think the guys we have are very athletic, and it does help, you know, fielding their position, maintaining their throwing programs, having good athleticism and fluidity to the deliveries is important. But, yeah, I think maybe we're fortunate in that area. But I think, you know, our guys have done a really good job staying on top of it. And, again, having some veteran guys who have done it before always helps because they know their routine. You know, and monitoring them is a little bit easier, but I do believe, you know, it's a testament to the whole group, you know, and they stay on top of each other. They kind of police each other, making sure they're doing their work as, you know, as we do as well. And I think it was good for Alec, like a guy like Alek Manoah and even Nate Pearson in the end coming up and seeing how these veteran guys do it and stay on top of things.
Yeah, you mentioned all that, and I thought of Jordan Romano and hearing him talk about routines. Yeah. Was it just as simple as him finding a routine that works for him to be able to maintain the velocity, the stuff, and to be able to come out and basically dominate?
Yeah, he was awesome. I know we're talking about the starters, but the relievers, I hate you know, overlooking them because Romano, Meza, Simber, Richards were awesome. Yep. And having those guys, knowing that that's our core moving forward makes me real happy, you know, and we can build around that. But I think, you know, Jordan was exceptional. I mean, he's an animal. He's so much fun to be around, believe it or not. He looks, you know, he looks so serious and mean out there, but he's a great guy. He works hard. He knows what he needs to do. You know, Matt Bushman's done a great job with Jordan as well. I know he spent a lot of time with him and, you know, but he's just such a competitor. He wants the ball. He knows what he needs to do and his stuff, again, it was as probably better than it's ever been at the end of the season. And his confidence level is just through the roof. So, you know, I'm putting him in the elite category when you think of closers and guys who can finish out a game right now. And he's as good as anybody out there. So watching him grow into that role is pretty, pretty cool. And again, Meza and Richard and Simber were critical in us turning the corner and making a run at the end for sure.
Now, we've seen a lot of, in the playoffs, we've seen a lot of aggressive managing, Alex Cora in particular, and a lot of it obviously is a product of necessity. It's not, I don't think guys are always trying to reinvent the wheel. A lot of times it's forced on you. But from what we've seen, do you ever, I mean, are you watching this postseason and thinking, okay, if that was me and we had to do that, like, who would our Nick Pivetta be? Would we do with Alek Manoah what the Rays did with Shane McClanahan? Like, I'm just wondering how you watch these games, and because it's got to be, there's got to be almost a sense of amusement at sometimes in your part when you see this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you're always surprised, I think, especially year to year now with things changing and how things are done and how other organizations look at those kind of moves. I think we've been pretty creative as an organization. Again, we were fortunate with our starting rotation, you know, kind of throwing out five guys there for the most part and throwing six innings a night at least, which was incredible towards the end. But yeah, in the postseason, you know, it seems like, you know, the gloves are off and teams are doing whatever they need to do to win. I don't know if I agree with it all. There's some moves that I've seen so far that maybe I don't 100% agree with. But again, you know, you're not in their situation. You're not having discussions prior to the game on how guys are going to be used and so forth and so on, who's available. But it's interesting. I mean, any way to win a ball game, you know, is seems to be the way we're going. But I do believe that, you know, some of the moves maybe are, you know, coming back to bite some of those organizations or teams right now, especially in the postseason. But it's also the way they've done things the entire year. So I don't think they're going to change at this point. But it is interesting, and I do watch. I don't enjoy watching right now as much as I'd rather be playing. It's not easy, you know, when you feel like your team is – as good, if not better, than most of the teams that you're watching. So that's frustrating. But, again, I think we would utilize our guys accordingly. I still love the traditional starters and so forth and trying to get deep. And just monitoring that third time through, I think, is really what we should be doing. And at that point, if there's a struggle, you make the move. But the predetermined, you know, where they're scripting it out in some places is tough to see. I think we've always had the leeway here to, you know, we have a good idea of what we're going to do, but there's always the idea that, you know, obviously Charlie and myself and, you know, the other coaching staff can make those decisions and not feel like it's scripted out and something has to be done. So that's the way I enjoy it.
I'm going to turn the last question over to a texter. Tyler in London had a really good question for you. We are going into the off season, and his question is, you know, he'd be interested in knowing what you look for. And I'm going to call it in a reclamation project and what makes this organization so good at turning struggling pitchers around, which I think is an interesting question because everybody's looking for arms and sometimes you take a flyer. What do you look for, Pete, that would say to you, okay, this guy's worth our time, or conversely, this might not work out?
That's a great question. It's something we do. I think we do a very good job of. You know, I think our guys, our scouting department, our analytics group, front office as well, and then obviously, you know, Matt Bushman and myself get a chance to look at these guys and give our two cents for sure as to what we could do, what we think they could do, how we could improve them. You know, everything from, you know, catcher's positioning to maybe changing the arsenal. You know, it could be they're using pitches that they shouldn't be using. Or they're throwing pitches to certain locations that doesn't make any sense, you know, or they're getting pounded in certain areas. So those are the things we look at and find a way to maybe if we made a couple of small adjustments, maybe in their pitch arsenal, you know, taking a pitch away, possibly adding a pitch if we think they could do that. And all of a sudden, you know, you can create a different type of pitcher. And you know, I think with some of the guys we've had come in here over the years, we've been able to do that. You know, you don't win them all. There's certainly some failures along the way, right? But I think with those kind of projects, it's fun. And when the pitcher sees some results or sees something working, it's like the light bulb goes off. And all of a sudden they buy in and you have a very confident pitcher that's, you know, getting good results. So I think we've done a good job of that. We'll continue to do that. You know, obviously guys like Robbie Ray and Matsy, I love working with and want those guys back, you know, desperately like everybody else. If it doesn't work out where we get those guys back, I'm sure there are other guys out there we could definitely work with and make better. But that's, we've been good with that stuff. And obviously with some of the young pitching we have coming up. So, you know, obviously, we want to keep those guys, and it would be so much fun to do that. But, you know, the business is the business. And you just, you know, you kind of see, you know, I kind of watch and listen throughout the off season and see what direction we're going in. But if we have to, you know, so-called reclamation project or look for a guy, we'll do our due diligence and find someone we can hopefully make better.